So over the coming weeks of Lent, we're going to be looking at some things we've called life-changing habits. You could equally call them spiritual disciplines, but that sounds like hard work to me. But life-changing habits, things that we might have a go at that might become a habit that we can continue. And today we are talking about prayer. We're going to look at some other things. We're going to look at fasting. That's going to be popular. We're going to look at generous hospitality. I'm sure that will be more popular. And we're going to look at Bible reading. And the reason we're going to do this, we're going to look at what the Bible says. We're going to look at some practical examples and offer you some takeaways, because what we'd like to do during this season is to encourage all of us to try something new. Now, the reality is that many of us struggle with prayer. We probably look around this room and think everyone else, particularly the clergy, have got it sorted when it comes to prayer, but I just don't know what to do, how to go about it, I can't pray, and all that kind of stuff. Well, the reality is everyone is in that situation, and we all have different concepts of prayer. For some of us, we might imagine that prayer is something like that, you know, very formal, that we do in church, usually led by someone at the front. Others of us might think of it as something we do informally in a connect group, a home group, where we all have an opportunity to share things. But I suspect that for many of us, prayer is something like that. We start, and then the words are just all a muddle. We don't know what to say or how to say it. I wonder if anyone connects with that. Well, whatever your experience, you're in good company, because there are lots of different ways to pray, and none are right, none are better than another. It's good to pray formally, it's good to pray informally. But also, many, many people, and I hold my hands up to this, will often feel like that. I just don't know what I'm doing in prayer. I don't know where my mind is. I don't know what I am saying. You see, prayer can be formal and informal. It can involve lots of words. It can involve few words. It can be spoken. It can be silent. It can be private. It can be shared. All are important. And so what we're going to do today is, first of all, look at these few verses that David read us from Philippians, and then we're going to try and apply them to ourselves. So if you haven't got it open again, do turn back to page 1180. Now, we read back in the book of Acts that Paul goes to Philippi and plants a church. He met a woman called Lydia, who was the seller of purple cloth, and she was converted, her household were converted. She planted a church in her house. I like to think she was one of the first bishops of the church, one of the first church leaders. She did a great work in there. But then years later, Paul finds himself in prison in Rome, and the church in Philippi, who are so grateful for him, write to him and encourage him and send someone to him to assure him that they are praying for him and caring for him. And he writes this letter back to them. And he writes back to encourage them and thank them and to also say to them, keep praying. And this is how you should do it. And in the verses just before we've had read today, Paul is saying to the church to keep your mind on things above. Keep looking to Jesus and pray. And pray. And I think that's probably a good message for us today, isn't it? That we don't know what's going on. If I just think back this last week with coronavirus, from, 20 cases in the UK to over 200, from kind of not worrying too much to having to alter the way we do things in all sorts of areas of life. We don't know what's going to happen in the next week, but we do know, as we sang earlier, that Jesus is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords tomorrow. And he is our certainty and our security. And he is the one, as Paul says, we look to and we pray to. And Paul then explains how we do that. So he says here, look at this with me, verse 4 onwards, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That's an assurance. And then he says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. I think it's probably true to say that most of us are anxious at different times. Some of us anxious a lot of the time. And we worry. Worry can keep us awake at night. And if you are one of those people, you will know that sometimes those worries are very rational. It might be a problem you face during the day that just keeps you awake at night. But often they can be irrational too. And come the morning, you realise actually the thing you were lying awake worrying about isn't overly significant. But we get like that. Jesus also shared in that. On the night before he died, on Maundy Thursday, he had supper with his friends, which we do here every Sunday. Then he went into the garden and he prayed. And when you read Matthew's gospel, this is what he said. This is the Saviour of the world, the one who had come to die for you and me. He prays, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. May this cup be taken from me. You know, he knew that he had come to die on a cross. But in that those moments before he was arrested, he prayed that it wasn't going to happen. He didn't say, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm just going to pray. He was real and honest to God about how he felt. He brought it to the Lord. And even the next day on Good Friday, as he hung on the cross, he cried out, didn't he? His anxiety, my God, why have you forsaken me? Cries of worry and anxiety. Now, if Jesus can be honest about those anxieties and turn them to prayer, then I think we can too. And I think that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, don't just be anxious, but pray. Bring them to the Lord. Be honest about them. If you read the Psalms, you'll see huge degrees of honesty. Do not be anxious, but in every situation, pray. Now, you might say that Jesus' prayer wasn't answered. He prayed that the cup would not be taken from him. He prayed that God wouldn't forsake him, and yet it felt like that to him. And that leads us really into the second point about what goes on in prayer. Yeah, we're real about our anxieties, the problems we face, and so on. But what we find that prayer isn't a slot machine. You know, we don't put our prayer in and the answer comes out. What we are doing is we are entering into a relationship and slowly aligning ourselves to the will of God. And Jesus had done that perfectly, but was still able to be honest with him. You see, as we grow closer to God, we grow in understanding of God. Let me try and explain. If you're married, if you live with someone, if you've got other people in your house, you will have all sorts of different conversations. It may be very functional, like what time is dinner? It may be that you talk about other stuff. You've got a shared problem, you know, a problem with the kids, and you talk about it at length. It may be about more intimate things. It may be that one thing will lead to another. But as we have those different sorts of conversations, some functional, some much deeper, we grow in understanding of the other person. Does that make sense? And as we grow in understanding of the other person, we begin to know how they think and operate too. So those of us who are married, we can probably second guess some of the things our partners might say to us. Yeah? And when we're having a conversation, we kind of know how they're going to react. We know what it is they're likely to do in a particular situation. And it's the same with God. As we get to know him through prayer, we slowly begin to understand more of his will and his ways. And we slowly, and this doesn't happen overnight, we slowly align ourselves to what he wants. So, for example, if I pray that the Lord will bless me with £1 million. That's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? But you know, I think I have got to know God well enough to know that he's probably not going to do that for me just like that. He probably knows it wouldn't be good for him to give me £1 million because I wouldn't know what to do with it. And I've grown in that understanding of God over time, that there's some requests that I might make to God that are just actually not what he wants. But there are other things that I do know he wants because I read about them in Scripture. So I do know that God wants to bring healing to people. And so I pray with confidence that God will heal people. I do know that God wants to bring justice to alleviate poverty, like we've just seen in that film. And so I pray to him about that. You see, there's a difference between the things we might wish for and the things that we understand and God teaches that he wants. And as we grow in that conversation with God, so we understand more about that. And we realize, too, that we're not just praying for things, but we're being called to do things. So when we pray, Lord, please bless the people in Mongolia and Angola and Mozambique, and please, you know, take away the floods. Actually, he might be calling me to do something, which might be giving some money. It might be working with an organization like Tear Fund. You know, God calls us as we pray. So that's the second thing. God says, don't be anxious. And as we pray, we slowly align ourselves to his will. And the third thing we see in these few verses is we see Paul says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus. You see, as we pray and align ourselves to God, we slowly discover peace. You know, many's the time I've been troubled by a situation in the night. 3 a.m. is my favorite time to be lying awake. If any of you are awake at 3 a.m., you might well find me awake at 3 a.m. And no matter, you know, rational or irrational, how much I try to think it through, how much I try to forget it, how much I try and tell myself I need sleep, it doesn't go away. But the thing I have found that does bring peace, not always straight away, is to pray. To pray. To turn that to prayer, to give it back to God. Often I will find that I will quote scripture, a psalm I've learned, maybe the 23rd psalm or the 121st psalm, just to bring it back to God, remind myself of his promises, and to seek his peace. And that's the kind of thing that Paul is saying here, that as we are honest with God, as we bring our prayers to God, so he will give us peace. We accept where he's taken us, and we grow in peace. And you know, one of the great things we can do to bring peace is to pray for other people. I came across this little picture, which I thought was really helpful. This is why we pray for one another. Just look at that. You see, the fact is, there are times when we will feel vulnerable. We might feel as though we're going to crash. But when other people are holding us up in prayer, actually, we keep going. And so when we pray for each other, and I'm going to say a little bit more about that later on, when we pray for each other, we're doing something really valuable. And I know there's people in this room at the moment and people who can't be here because they're not well, who depend on our prayers. And you and I will depend on the prayers of others at times, just to keep us going. Those times when perhaps you can't pray for yourself because life is so difficult, but others will keep you going. So, given all that, how should we pray? I want to give you some practical things. Firstly, what is prayer? Well, prayer is raising our hearts and our minds to God. You know, it's communicating with God, cultivating that relationship. And as we pray, we connect with God. Now, I want to say, first of all, that when we pray, often it's like that slide we just seen. You know, we're all over the place. The words may not flow nice and freely, and our minds may not be as in tune as we might like them to be. But the thing to do is to pray, is to talk to God. Some people say to me, I can't pray. I don't know where to start. Well, I said, that's a good start. Saying you don't know where to start is a good start. You've got to start. You see, the first thing we need to do is to communicate. If Caroline and I spend the whole time in silence We don't really know what's going on in each other's lives. We don't really understand. I don't even know what time dinner is, let alone anything else. We don't talk, yeah? So we have to talk. There has to be dialogue, whether it's functional or it goes deeper. And it's the same with God. We need to begin that conversation with him, whatever it looks like. As we open our hearts and our minds and our mouths, even though we can't see him, our relationship with him deepens. Now, if you tell me you don't pray, I'm going to tell you I don't believe you. A recent survey showed that even 20% of atheists pray regularly. Just 20% of atheists pray regularly. Now, I think we all pray. The problem is we perhaps don't think it's prayer, or we struggle to make sense of it. And I want to say there's two things I think that are important about prayer. And the first one is the word that we don't like called discipline. Okay? There has to be something intentional about prayer. Just like if you want to get fit, if all you ever do is think about getting fit, you're probably not going to do it. If you never go to the gym or go for a run or go for a walk and you just think it would be a good idea if I did, it's not going to happen, is it? And prayer's like that too. If you always think, I can't pray, I don't know what to pray, it's not, you're not going to start. But once you open your mouth and your mind to God, then you will begin. So there's got to be a discipline to it. But the second thing is the opposite. There needs to be a freedom in prayer. Freedom in prayer, because God isn't prescriptive about what prayer looks like. Prayer isn't the thing that's printed in a booklet or a book, although it can be. Prayer isn't the thing that you talk, although it can be. You see, prayer can be so much, but it's the thing that we do. Now, I want to paint a little picture to you of what my own prayer life looks like. And I realize in doing this, I'm making myself quite vulnerable, because you might think, God, is that all he does? But I just think it might be helpful for you to understand just what somebody else does each day. Now, you first of all, you may say, well, look, he's ordained. You know, he wears a collar. He's paid to do this. He has the time to do this. And that is true, and I acknowledge that. But at the same time, I'm human, and I experience all of the same challenges that everyone else do. Life's pressures, busyness, confused mind, and all of that kind of stuff. So it's not just a, you know, laid-back life of prayer like I might like it to be. So the first thing for me in my prayer life is that I make sure I get up in the morning, because I know that if I don't pray first thing in the morning, then I'm likely not to pray. So I have to be disciplined to have an alarm go off and get up. Now, I'm someone who's a morning person, so I don't find that difficult. Other people might work differently. And I get up, I make a hot drink, and I sit in my favourite chair, and I start to talk to God. And now, usually what I would do is read a bit of the Bible, because I find it helpful to remind myself of the things that God is saying. And God often speaks to us as we read the Bible. You know, if I read a verse like we just read, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, you know, I kind of sense God speaking words of peace to me. So I'll read the Bible. I do it in a fairly informal and flexible way. And as I do that, I will turn that to talking to God about the needs of my family, about friends, of people in the church, of situations in the world, and so on. Some people journal. I used to journal. I'm going through a phase where I don't find that as helpful. Caroline does find it helpful to journal. That is just writing down the things that you sense are going on. Some people find that helpful. It doesn't matter. They're all different ways. So I will do that, and that's a great start to the day for me. Now, some people might say, oh, I have to get up early and go to work. Well, when I used to work, doing a proper job in the secular world, I did still do that. I used to get up before I go to work and have a shorter time of prayer, usually before the rest of the family got up. So that's the sort of discipline for me. Now, I'm fortunate because as the day goes on, I have lots of other opportunities to pray. We have morning prayer here in church, or communion and meetings during the day, which usually involve prayer. But there are other things that happen during the day, other issues that come up. And just like there will be for all of you. And what I will try and do is intentionally offer up some arrow prayers. In other words, just shoot a request to God. Lord, please help this person in this situation they're going through at the moment. And then just carry on with my day. You know, God is somebody who, if we start out the day with that conversation, we can continue it through the day. Just like you might have a conversation with your partner at the beginning of the day, and then, you know, you need to text or ring up during the day just to pass some information on or to ask something. It's the same sort of thing. Just think of it as a perfectly natural conversation that ebbs and flows during the day. Now, I realize that for some of you, there are particular pressures. If you've got young children, if you've got busy jobs, it's going to restrict what you do. But there are ways around that. But if you're not in work, you will have more time. But whatever your situation, a degree of discipline will be needed for you to say, I'm going to do this at this time that works for me, and I'm going to grow in that relationship. Paul's advice, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And as we pray, so we alleviate some of the anxiety that there might be in our lives and discover his peace. Now, I want to suggest some things that you might try this Lent. And I've got two slides I'm going to show you. One is some ideas of things that you can do with other people. And the other are some things that you can try on your own. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do all of these things. But there might be one thing from this list that you think, yeah, over the next few weeks, I'm going to have a go at see whether I can do that. Yeah? So, the first of these. There we are. Ideas to try with others. So, on a Sunday morning, we have prayer at 8:45 before the 9 o'clock service. Most of you probably don't come to the 9 o'clock service, but anyone who does is welcome to come to that to pray for the service. On 4 days in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday, we have morning prayer for 30 minutes. Some people come along before they go to work. It's quite formal, it's quite liturgical, but an opportunity for free prayer in that. So you don't have to do very much, you can just allow it to sweep over your minds. On most Sundays, we have evening prayer. Similar pattern, 30 minutes, 6:30. Maybe that's something you could take up for Lent. Come along for 30 minutes on a Sunday evening. Once a month, we have a prayer meeting, which is a more informal time of prayer, of sung worship and spoken prayer, where we align ourselves to God's will. So they're kind of like the formally things. In every connect group, the small groups that we have, we pray with one another. We pray for one another. And that we will do that in different ways. Some people have prayer triplets. They've got together with a couple of people and meet up at times that suit them to pray and to share. That's a good thing to do. Be prayed for on a Sunday morning. Every service, we have prayer ministry available for stuff in our lives, confidential prayer, where people will pray for you for the situation that's going through your life. We have quiet mornings few times a term. The next one's a couple of weeks before Easter. Why not give that a go? Basically, it's prayer stations around the place. You have some freedom to wander around and to use the things that you see to trigger off prayer. You see, none of us find prayer easy, but these are some structures that might help you. And it might be as you look at that, you think, well, actually, yeah, I could come to morning prayer on a Tuesday because I've got a bit of time then, or I could come to evening prayer next Sunday. Whatever it is there something there? So here we are, some ideas to try on your own. So if you don't have a quiet time, a time on your own at the moment, try and build something in, a time that works for you. It might just be a couple of minutes. You know, if you're really up there, it might be several hours, and that's great. Be honest with God. Tell him how you're feeling. Don't think, you know, God only wants to hear nice things. He wants to hear the real you. Pray for others. Now, you've all got in your, should have been given one of these this morning. This is nothing new. We've had this for years. Every member of the church is listed on here, and we pray throughout the month. If you look on the left-hand side, it's got the day. So like on the, today's the 8th. So we would be praying for all those in leadership in the church, and there's some people on the right-hand side who we would be praying for too. Why don't you use this through the week? Pray for other people in the church. Remember that slide I showed you of people being carried along? We're carried along in prayer. So use that. Pray for your family. It's a good place to start. Pray for the people you live with. If you've got kids, pray with your kids. Last week, Sam was encouraging us to learn a couple of Bible verses and to use those with our children. Why not take that up? Give thanks to God before you eat. That's a great place to start. You sit around the table, you know, say thank you to God. If you don't know what to say, you can buy books of graces and stuff. Talk to God while you're walking to work or you're traveling to work. If you're on the tube, great opportunity to read the Bible, listen to Christian music, listen to a podcast, listen to a sermon. You can download it from the website, the one you missed, and listen to it in the week, whatever it is. And here's one very topical. Every time you wash your hands, which we're all doing, yeah, just give thanks to God. We're meant to have 20 seconds, aren't we, under the tap? So 20 seconds of prayer. Thank God. Thank him for the water. Thank him for your health. Thank him for your family. You know, just use those triggers. I read yesterday that some Pret coffee shops are ringing an alarm to remind people to wash their hands. You know, set an alarm on your phone to remind you to pray, or use those things that you're doing during the day as the reminder to pray. There's lots of others. You know, this is just a few ideas. But what I hope is that it will give you some things to take away that you might be able to try to deepen your relationship with God. Because at the end of the day, we will pray for each other, but I can't pray, I can't cultivate that relationship for you. I can pray that God will come and meet you, but you will grow that relationship as you talk to him more.